Good morning. It's great to see everybody today. That was some incredible singing, and good to give praise and honor to our Heavenly Father. So let's just take a moment and bow our heads, and we'll pray, and then we'll get to the teaching time. Father, we're so grateful that the words we just sing, that you are on your throne, and Father, what that means for us is everything, and we're beyond grateful, and Father, we're just overwhelmed by that truth, and we thank you for that truth that you revealed in that song this morning. And Father, we just pray in the next few moments as we go in to a time of opening up your word, Father, that you open up our hearts and our minds, and Father, just allow us to let you direct us and let you guide us, and Father, let you speak into all of the areas of our life, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 6, and as we do that, I want to just set the scene for you a little bit about what's happening in the text that we're going to talk about today. And what is going on is Paul, who is an apostle, a church planner, he's just really doing some incredible work for the kingdom of God. He's had a desire, a big desire, to go to Jerusalem for a long time. And we're going to see how that folds out a little bit today. But imagine for me just for a moment, if you could, if there was a place or a space or a group of people whom you really wanted to connect with and haven't done so in a long time, but you want to connect with them, you want to just go back to them, maybe you've had that heart's desire and you're hopeful that that can happen one day. But in the midst of that desire, if you could just imagine with me for a moment, God has kind of discouraged it or pushed you away from actually making that happen. But that's still something that's so much a part of your thinking on a day-to-day basis. And you want to go, and specifically because they're your people. Like, you came from them, and they were such a big part of your life, and you just so desire for them to know God the way that you do through Jesus. And Paul has, again, he's been desiring to go back to Jerusalem for a long time. And God sent him to the Gentiles. But through his church planting journeys and just through just a lot of hardships and difficulties, he's now back in Jerusalem. And it's been a season since he's been there. And he's hopeful that if once he gets there, that if he just gets an opportunity to speak to the people, that they will know Jesus like he knows Jesus. And that they'll know that what they've been promised from such a long time ago about a Messiah that would come, that would be the Messiah for the people of Jerusalem, the Jewish people, that Messiah was Jesus. And so he wants to share that with them. But in the midst of that desire, things are not going to go as good for him as he hoped. And actually, he's struggling mightily in chapter 21, verse 37. He's basically caused a riot. He didn't cause it, but his presence did. People stirred up problems for him. He's now just about ready to be arrested and most likely beaten, persecuted because of being arrested. And he's just hopeful for one opportunity to speak. And he says, "Hey, could I just talk for a minute to the crowd?" And the guy who's about ready to take him in to the barracks and put him in prison was kind of like shocked that he would ask that question. And he said, aren't you the guy that used to be here, but you you're like an Egyptian, and you got about 4,000 people who are terrorists, like that's what they called them, and you fled out into the desert. And he's like, no, that's not who I am. I'm one of you. Like, that's who, I'm from here. And the guy's like, okay, go ahead and talk. Go ahead and say what you got to say. And so Paul is standing in front of a crowd. Now imagine your scenario and my scenario about sharing something that's very important to with somebody else in our life and maybe having the right words to say at the right time. Like, we would imagine it sitting down over maybe a cup of coffee or a dinner or a meal or something and just having that ability to share what we're thinking and what's on our heart, and that that person would receive the good news of Jesus and they would just, you know, be overwhelmed and so thankful that we actually shared it with them, and everybody would cry and this everything would be changed forever, right? And yet, here's Paul's scenario. He's been arrested. The crowd is completely against him. And he's speaking to a crowd that doesn't want to listen. And every word he says makes them just a little bit more angrier than they were before. That's the courage that he has. But Paul believes something. He believes something so deep in his person that he must speak. He believes that being in relationship with Jesus is everything. And what happens when we become a follower of Jesus is that God, through Jesus, takes us out of the darkness, and he brings us into the light. And he brings us out of the death that we were in, and he gives us life. So we get to be transformed. Like, there's a major change that happens. And Paul is going to simply share his story. And this is what Paul really understood. He believes in every way that every number, every person essentially, has a name, right? Everybody here has a name? Amen? Yep. Some of you are like, I don't know, maybe. It's hard telling. By the way, speaking of names, when you come next week, whether you come at the 9:30 service or the 11 o'clock, we're going to have some tables out front, and we're going to have an opportunity. This is so exciting. I can't wait for this. I know you're all going to be so jazzed. we're going to have everybody put a name tag on. Yeah, yeah, woo, right? Here's the deal. Being in community with people is great, but one of the things that community needs to be is a place where we have our name known by other people and where we know the names of other people. So here's the beauty of this. Let's say you've been coming for a long time, maybe a few years, and you've sit in the same area and you've known the person close to you for a long time, but you don't remember they introduce themselves, but you can't remember their name. And so you've been shaking their hand every Sunday for like years, and you have no idea what their name is. This is your opportunity to get to know their name without offending them completely, all right? So we're going to have everybody put a name tag on. Some of you wear name tags all the time. That's cool. You can put another one on or if you want, or just have one. But when we come back next Sunday, it's our opportunity to introduce ourselves to people and to know their name without worrying about offending anybody. But more importantly, because church should be a place where you have the ability to be known by people and also to know people. It's also a place where we are a place where we can love people and also be loved. And how we become loved is by being in community, and part of community is knowing people's names. That's one of the basic elements of starting a relationship with somebody, is knowing their name, right? So every number has a name. And because of that, we recognize that every name has a story, and that every story matters to God. Every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And it doesn't matter where you've come from, and it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, you matter to God. And God knows not just your name, but he knows all about you and everything about you. He knows where you've gone and where you're going. He knows what you're going to do today and what you're going to say today. He knows where you go on your computer, and he knows how you spend your money, and he knows all of it, and you still matter to him. You even matter to him before you become one of his. And so Paul begins to share his story. And he says, hey, just to let you guys know, all the crowd who's against me right now, because I'm a Jesus follower, and we don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. We don't believe that he was the promised one. And all of you, I want to let you know, I was one of you. Like, I was born Jewish, and I was born in Tarsus, but I grew up here in Jerusalem, and I was trained by a very, very devout teacher, Gamaliel, and he taught me, and I was so zealous for the faith. And so he's beginning to tell about his story, and he's sharing with the people, and he's like, hey, I'm Jewish, I was born in Tarsus, but I grew up here. I had a teacher, and I want you guys to know something. I'm so much one of you. You can't even believe how much I was living and pushing back against this Jesus movement that they called the Way. I was against it. He said, "Here's what I was doing. I was having people arrested, and I was putting them to death." And he said, "I was even doing it to men and women." Not just to men, which maybe I guess that would have been acceptable, but he said, "This I was doing it to women too. I was so zealous, and I was so against this thing, this Jesus movement." And he says, then what I was doing was the church dispersed out of Jerusalem, and I personally got permission from the people in Damascus to go there and arrest Christians in Damascus. And I was on my way there. I was on my way. So Paul just established his incredible street cred with the people of Jerusalem. I'm one of you. I'm one of you. I've did the things that you are now doing specifically to me. And I was doing them, and I was doing it better than anybody else. And we think about our own story, and we think about our story before we knew the Lord, and the things that we would do, and the choices we would make, and the sin we would commit, and the rebellion. And we have a story, and in the midst of that story, there's other people who go, oh, man, I get that story. That's me too. That's me right now. You were like me. Every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And so Paul, at that point in time, and this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 22, verse 6, Paul begins to tell them about what happens on the road to Damascus. And so we heard that story way back early in Acts chapter 9, and now he's given his testimony of a testimony he could not wait to give for the longest time. He wanted to go back so badly to Jerusalem. He thought, hey, if I could just get back there, and if I could just share my story, and if I could just tell them, like, I was one of you, and this is what God did for me through Jesus, and everybody would just go, oh my goodness, yes, we're gonna do that. And God was like, no, you probably don't want to go back there. It's not going to go well for you. You know, sometimes it's amazing how much we think God doesn't know what we know, right? And that's what Paul was saying. He's like, yeah, but just let me do it. Let me tell him. And so he begins to tell him, and this is in chapter 22, verse 6. Here's what happens. We're familiar with a little bit of the story, but he tells us some new stuff in the midst of it as well. He says, about noon, as I came near Damascus, so he's on the road, he's going to arrest more Christians, he's going to persecute them, put them in jail, have them beaten, and sometimes even put to death. And then suddenly, isn't this amazing what happens in our relationship with the Lord? Suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And of course, in the midst of that, what we recognize, first of all, is that oftentimes in life, we can be on the journey that we're on, and we could be doing the thing that we're doing, and we're doing it really well, and all of a sudden, God shows up. And he showed up, and he asked him the question, like, hey, what are you doing to me? Why are you persecuting me? Church, and any time that we do something that hurts the church, it hurts our Lord. And he immediately, because of the light and the glory of God that was showing around him, he was on the ground. He says, who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Imagine if Jesus said that to you. Imagine if he said to you, hey, you're hurting my church. My companions, the people that were with him, he says, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And in the midst of that, he's telling his story. He's saying, hey, this is what was happening in my life. This is what was going on. And now in the midst of my story, I'm doing my thing. I'm on my journey. I'm living life. I think I'm doing the best that I can. And God shows up. And when God showed up, my life was never the same again. See, I think throughout our journey in life, I'm not sure that that was the first time. I know it wasn't the first time that God tried to get his attention, because he had been around people and had been around persecuting other Christians whom tried to share what they believed about Jesus. And he was so against it, he would push back so much against it that he wanted to hear nothing about it. And he would just say, oh, like, that's not true. Why are you saying those words? And for him, he believed that his whole life was about eradicating anybody who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, we may not be that extreme in our walk with the Lord. I mean, our pre-walk with the Lord. He may not have been extreme in terms of, like, murdering people. I mean, don't forget, as great as Paul is, and we've been talking a lot about him, especially since we've been in the last section of this book of Acts, he's a great guy, and he deserves to be, like, honored and talked about. But remember this about Paul. He, like us, also needs a Savior. He needed someone to save him. He was as good as you could be. He was as zealous as you could be. He tried to do as much of the right thing as you could do, and he still needed a Savior named Jesus, just like every one of us in this room. And yet, oftentimes in our journey, I believe God tries to get our attention, and he tries to wake us up a little bit, and he brings people into our life to speak into our life, and we might hear the message, but we may reject it, and we may push it away, and we may not listen to it. But on the road to Damascus, there could be no denying, because he was face to face with the glory of Jesus. He was having Jesus speak to him directly. And the beauty of what we have today is we literally have the Word of God, which is the exact same thing that Saul has. And it speaks to us. And it reveals where we are and what we need. And it reveals, yes, that we're not just a number to God, and that he knows our name, and he's intimately aware of all of our life the good and the bad. And then he recognizes in the midst of that, what it helps us to understand is that God understands that we have a story. And our story may not be like everybody else's. We might have some similarities, and we might have some things that may connect us to another person, but our story is our story specifically. Every number has a name, and every name literally has a story. And his story was, hey, I was trying to do the right thing and do it the best I could, and yet I still needed Jesus to come along and change my life. And that's the truth for all of us today. You see, a lot of us in this room already have received Jesus and believe in the name of Jesus and have professed that name. But then there's some today maybe here that are here and you're on that journey and you haven't decided who Jesus is in your life yet. And maybe today is that day. And as we wrap up the service today, there's going to be an opportunity to come after we close out and come down, and there'll be some people down here that would love to pray with you or talk with you about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today could be the day of salvation, that you could receive Jesus just like Paul did when he was in Damascus and his eyes were open and he could see, and God said to him, hey, get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And that's what he wants to do for us today. And God desires to do that no matter what you have done, no matter where you've gone, and no matter how long you've been doing it, God still desires to open up his arms to you and bring you in to be one of his own. And he wants that for you. So the story continues to unfold. He's still speaking in front of the people. And he reveals something that's very interesting because he says something that we didn't really get in the earlier story in Acts chapter 9. It's a little bit more detail about what transpired. And we continue to pick that up in verse 17. He says, when I returned, so he was in Damascus, he goes back to Jerusalem. This was a long time ago. I was praying at the temple. He says, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he says, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And so he's saying, hey, am I not the best person to tell my fellow Jewish people about you? I mean, look what I've done. They know my story. And so he was trying to have this conversation with God, like, God, I know you're telling me to leave, but I want to stay. And so he's telling the people in Jerusalem, he's like, hey, I wanted to be here, but God says you need to go. I wanted to stay because I thought there's nobody better to share the story of Jesus with you than me because of all the things that I did and what I now believe about Jesus and what he's done for me. So if every name has a number and if every name has a story, and what we recognize in the midst of that is that every story matters to God. Every story. Every story. Your story matters. Every part of it matters. And that means if your story matters, that means that everybody that we come in contact with, their story matters to God as well. Their story is important to God. No matter where they've gone, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, it matters. And Paul is longing for them to just understand, I've been gone for a long time. I went away because God sent me to a different group of people, and I've been sharing the good news of the gospel with them. But you were so important to me that even though God thought it was best that I did not shared my story with you, I'm here to tell you that I want you to know about Jesus and that it is important, beyond important, and I'm risking everything. He has a crowd who is against him. He has a crowd who wants to put him in prison. And honestly, they want him to die. They want his life to be taken from him. And he's trying to say, look, all of that was against me, and I still want you to know about Jesus. And think about the people in your life. And sometimes what we learn from the story is that the people that we want to share our story with the most maybe aren't the ones that will be most blessed by our story. Maybe it's our friends that we just have been hoping so long that they'll come to know Jesus because we shared our story with them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker, somebody that we just are hopeful that they will just hear the words and see how I'm living and see the things I'm having my hope and my faith in, and they can just know the same thing. And in the midst of that, it's like they can't hear and they won't believe just because we're the one to tell them. And then maybe there's someone who we think, man, that person, I don't want to go to that person. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't think they'll ever listen to me. And they're the very person that God wants to send you to, because that's what he does with Paul. Listen in verse 21. This is how we're going to wrap up this morning. He said, then the Lord said to me, go. So they're having this dialogue. They're having this conversation. And by the way, just for our own sake this morning, if God wants his way, he's going to get his way. You might think it's not going to happen, but trust me, it does. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And so he sends them there, and that's where Paul goes. And he has a ministry, and churches get started, and people become believers whom Paul thought he would never in a million years ever share the good news of Jesus with. And he has a story. And guess what? We have a story too. And we get to share our story, maybe with people that we hope will hear the good news of Jesus, and maybe we get to share our story with people that we never thought we'd ever share our story with. And the question is, will we allow God to send us where we need to go and when we need to go? And will we allow God to have us speak at times when we don't want to speak? Because every church, listen, every name, every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this story this morning and what it means for us and what it means, Father, for those that we know, and Father, even for some people that we think that would never be open to a relationship with you. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, if we were thinking about Paul way back when, I'm sure most people would have thought, this guy will never become a follower of Jesus. There's no way. And yet, Father, he did. And there are people who, because of our willingness to share our story with them, Father, will have a relationship with you one day. And so, Father, we just want to be open today to where you want us to go and what you want us to say. And also, Father, we want to just pray for anybody that needs to make a decision about your Son as their Lord and Savior today. May the day of salvation for them be today, right here, right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.